We now proceed with lesson number 23 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Maseches Shavuos. We continue in Perek Vov, in the sixth Perek, the topic being Shavuos Hatayonim, specifically a Shavua for Modeh B'Miktzas, for a partial admission to a claim for $100, admission for $50. In which case the Torah requires that the nitba swear that he does not owe the other 50. In Mishnah Gimel, we continue to elaborate upon the concept of mimin hatane, that the denial has to be in terms of the same min, the same species, the same material, the same type of object as the claim. For example, litra zohov yesh li biyodcha. The Toveya claims a litra is a certain ancient Roman measure of weight, which is equal to what the Gemara sometimes calls mona italki, and I'm told that this is roughly in the area of 350 grams of gold in this case. Just quite a bit of gold, I guess. So the Toveya is making a claim of gold. Ein lecha b'yodi el litro kesef. And the nitba says, I owe you a litro, I owe you that weight, but not of gold, which is who knows how much money, but only of silver, which is worth quite a bit less. Potter. The nitba is exempt from a shvua. This is shelo mimin hatana. The taina, the claim was for zov gold. The hoidah, the confession, admission, was only for silver. But suppose he doesn't say, you owe me a pound of gold, but rather, dinar zahav yeshli biyotcha. You owe me a coin called a dinar, which is made of gold. You owe me that coin, which has the equivalent value of 25 silver dinar. I'm asking you for a gold dinar, which is the equivalent of 25 silver dinars. And the nitva responds, "Ein lecha biyodi ela dinar kesef." Dinar kesef. The nitva says, "No, I don't owe you 25 dinrim kesef equals one dinar zahav, but rather I owe you one dinar kesef, 1/25th of what you're claiming. Utrisis, or I owe you a trisis, which is a Roman coin equal to about." 1/24th of a dinar, or upundion, I owe you a pundion, which is again a Roman coin worth less than that, maybe 1/35th of a dinar. Ufruta, or the nitba says, I owe you a pruta, which isn't even a silver coin, a copper coin. Chayov. In these cases, the nitba is obligated in the mode of miktsas, because the taina wasn't specifically about gold, the material, the metal called gold, rather it was gold coins. So I'm asking for you for a certain amount of coins equal to dinar zahav, which happens to be 25 silver coins, etc. If you confess to me, not in terms of gold, but in terms of silver, or even in terms of copper, I am asking you for a certain number of coins. You're responding that you owe a fraction of what I'm claiming. If the claim is for the metal known as gold and the confession is for the metal known as silver, that's shalom min hatano. But if the claim is for so many coins that are equal in value to a golden dinar, and you say, no, I owe you less coins worth less money, that is mimin hatana. If the Toveya says, kor tavua yesh li biyodcha, you owe me a large amount of grain, the size of a kor, and you respond, the nitba responds, ein lecha biyodi elo lesech kitnis, all that I owe you is a lesech, which is a half of a kor, I owe you a half of a kor, but not of tvua, of kidneys, of beans. Beans is not tvua. Potter. I ask you for grain. Grain is wheat, barley. But you're responding that you owe me beans? No. That's Shalomi Min Hatana. No Shvuatz Hadayonim. No Shvuatz Moder Mikzas. But if a Toveya says, Kor Peros Yeshli Biyotcha, you owe me, Mr. Nitba, a kor, 30 saw worth of fruits, of peros. Peros doesn't mean fruits in the narrow sense that we use fruits in English. Peros means things that grow, fruits, vegetables. And the nitba responds, Ein lecha b'yodi elalesech kitnis. You're claiming to me a kor of fruits, vegetables. I owe you a half a kor of beans. So that's izmi min hatana, because shehakitnis bechlal peros. Kitnis is peros, the same as bananas are peros, apples are peros, string beans are peros, and broccoli is peros. Ta'ono chitim, classic case. The toveya says you owe me chitim wheat. For example, he says you owe me a kur chitim, 30 saw of wheat. V'hodelo basodim. And the nitpa says, I owe you barley. All right. I owe you a kor, I guess, but not a kor of wheat, a kor of barley, a kor of sa'odim. Potur. So the nitpa is exempt from a shvua. The interesting thing is here, the nitpa just confessed to owing him barley. He was never asked for barley. There was no claim against him for barley. But he says, Mr. Toveya, I owe you barley. Does he have to pay him barley? The Gemara says, no, potur af bit mei sa'odim. This is the Gemara in Bava Kama. Tav lamed hei omid beis, potur af bit mei sa'odim. Why? Why should the nitba be exempt from paying sa'odim the value of a kur of barley when he himself confesses that he owes the kur of barley? There are various opinions in the Rishonim. The Rama says that the Nitba can say, I was kidding around. You came to me with telling me I owe you a ton of wheat. So I said to you, me? I owe you a ton of wheat? Yeah, sure. I owe you a ton of barley. I'm not speaking seriously. This is my way of saying I owe you nothing. So therefore, there is no real confession that he owes him Sa'odin. This is the opinion of the Rama. Rashi takes a different approach, and Rashi says that if I come to you and claim chitim, the Toveya is claiming chitim, and the Toveya is not claiming sa'orim, why is the Toveya not being claiming sa'orim? Must be because he was mochel the sa'orim. He says, the heck with the sa'orim that he owes me, I'm only going to claim the chitim. So then when the nitba says, I owe you sa'orim, it has already followed the mechila. And the forfeiture on the part of the Toveya of the sa'orim, he didn't claim them. There are other approaches to why the nitba is potur even from the sa'orim that he confesses to. But the basic rule as far as Amish is concerned is it has to be mimin hatane. The toveya's tane, the toveya's claim is for chitim, for wheat, and the nitba responds with a confession of barley. That's not moda b'miktsas. However, Rabban Gamliel mechayev. Rabban Gamliel disagrees with that. And he says, a moda b'miktsas must make a shvua, even if it is shelo mimin hatana, even if what he confesses to is not the species that's being claimed. In our case, even if he's not confessing to chitim at all, but only to sa'odim. Hatoen lachavero b'chadei shemen. If a person says, you owe me 10 barrels of oil, and the Nitpa says, Vahodalo Bakamkanim. The Nitpa says, you're right. I owe you barrels. I say you owe me 10 bottles of oil, and you say I owe you 10 bottles, period. Alright. Hodalo Bakanganim. Empty bottles. Admon Omer, one of the Tanoim named Admon says, Hoel Vahodalo Miktsas mi min hatano yishova. Look, you claimed 10 bottles of olive oil. That's a claim for oil and bottles. That's what Admon says. When the Nitba responds, I owe you empty bottles, it's a moda b'miktsas. The total claim was oil plus bottles, shemen and kadim. And the hodo is for kadim, for a miktsas. Modib Miktas is Chayav Ashur, but Chachamim Omerim Ein Hahudomi Min Hatana. The Chachamim say, excuse me, when the Toveya says, you owe me 10 bottles of olive oil, he's not talking about the bottles. He's talking about the olive oil. You owe me olive oil. How much olive oil? 10 bottles worth. But he's not making a claim about the bottles. So when the Nitba confesses, I owe you bottles, empty bottles, that's not Mimin Hatana, and therefore he's exempt from a Shvua. I have a Machlokas, Admon, against the Chachamim. Admon is a relatively unknown Tana, and one would think at this point that he is overruled by the majority of the Chachamim. However, Admon has an ally, as the Mishnah continues. Omar Rabban Gamliel, Roa ani es divrei Admon. Rabban Gamliel gives his his validation to Admon, and he believes that Admon is right, that the confession to the empty bottles is a confession of Mimin Hatana. It is Mimiktsas Moda Bemiktsas. Toano Kelim Vikarkos. The person says, Toveya says, you owe me kelim, you owe me pots and pans, and karkos, and you owe me an acre of land. Vahoda ba kelim vichofar ba karkaot. And the nitba says, I owe you the pots and pans, but I do not owe you any land at all. No real estate. Or, ba karkaot vichofar ba kelim. The Nitba says, you're right, I owe you an acre of land, but pots and pans, I don't owe you them. Potur. There is no Moda B'miktsas here. Why? Because there's a general rule, which we will learn about, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow, in Mishnehe, that says that there's no Shvua for Karkos. We'll see, it's Exeris HaKosov, Minat Torah. There's no such thing as a Shvua on land, on property, on real estate property. So here, where the hodah, the kfira or the hodah is about karka, there's no shvua. Even if the hodah is for karka, there's no shvua on the kelim. Because a hodah for karka is not mechayev a shvua on kelim. Mishnah continues. Hodah b'miktas hakarkos potter. If he agrees, I owe you half an acre. You're claiming an acre, I owe you half an acre. Exempt from a shvuas moda b'miktsas, because there is no shvua on a taina, on a claim of karka. But b'miktsas hakelim. Suppose the claim is an acre of land and 10 pots and 10 pans. And the nitba says, I indeed owe you 5 pots and 5 pans. But the other 5 pots and pans and the real estate, forget about it. I don't owe you that. So here we have a hoidor for part of the pots and pans and a kfira for part of the pots and pans. Putting the karka aside, we have here a legitimate claim of pots and pans and a moda b'miktsas to part of those pots and pans. Chayav. So there would be a shvua on everything, and he would have to swear about the that he doesn't owe the pots and pans that are claimed against him. And then here is the new din that we're having. Now he would also have to swear on the real estate, on the acre of land, because of the concept of gilgul shvua. Once he's obligated to swear already on the pots and pans, then we schlep in, we drag in the karka, the real estate, and he has to swear on the acre of real estate that he denies owing as well. Because the principle is, shehanechosim she'ein lohem achrayos, property for which there is no responsibility, meaning pots and pans, zokakin, connect, link to property for which there is responsibility, meaning real property, acres of land, apartment houses, whatever. The Shava Alehem. This is the concept of Gilgul Shvua, which we learned about some time ago in Maseches Sota, in the Mishnayos of the second parak of Maseches Sota. Mishnah Dalet continues, different twist. And that is Ein Nishboim Al Tanas Chere Shote V'Kotan. Suppose a Toveya is a deaf mute, or an imbecile, or a minor. Basically, these people have no status, do not have sufficient status, do not have sufficient das, do not have sufficient intelligence to be considered Tova'im, to be considered plaintiffs. So if the plaintiff is in this category of a minor or an imbecile, a person who has no das, they cannot obligate the nitpa to swear or shvuas moda b'miktsas. The Gemara explains the reason, because in Parshas Mispotim, when the pasuk speaks about v'nikra bal habayis elhu elohim, it says ki yitein ish el reyehu kesef o kelim lishmor. We're talking about an ish. An ish means fully competent adult, but not a katan. V'ein mashbi nes a katan. Similarly, we do not require a shvua of a katan. Never can we require a shvua, an oath of a katan, because a katan simply does not fully appreciate the weight of an oath, and therefore we don't impose oaths upon him. Avo nishboim la katan. However, we can swear on behalf of a katan, meaning if a person comes to collect a debt from a katan, from a minor, the man comes along and says, the toveya comes along and says, this katan, this minor's father owes me $100. The father is now dead. The katan, the minor, could be 2 years old, inherited property from his father, and therefore the katan owes me money. He inherited money which is owed to me. Then we obligate the toveya, we obligate the person making the claim in a shvua, in an oath, and similarly, vila hegdish. If someone donates his property to hegdish, to the Beis HaMikdash, and someone else comes along, a toveya comes along and says, wait a second, he can't do that. He owes me so much money. What's he doing giving everything away to hegdish? In such a case, we require a shvua from the Toveya. This is in tune with a Mishnah we learned in Meseches Ksuvos, the ninth perek, which says, "Menechosim mishubadim u'menichse yisomim lo tifra elo b'shvua," and this is true even in a claim made against Hekdesh. So we have finished the third and fourth Mishnayos in perek Shishi, in the sixth perek of Masechet Shavuos, and we have completed lesson number 23.